Henry Ford said money is like an arm or leg. Use it or lose it. So the question is, how do you use money the right way? How do you keep it from controlling you? We'll explore those issues today on Grace to You. Maybe you've heard that money is the root of all evil, but that's not what the scripture says. It's the love of money that's wrong. The real issue is, how well are you doing at pleasing God and how you handle your money? Regardless of how much or how little you have, the same principles apply. And they're at the heart of the study that John MacArthur begins today on Grace to You. It's titled, Mastering Your Money. John, it may be disappointing, even surprising to some people, that the subject of money would come up in the context of your study of the Bible. Money and the things that money buys, that doesn't seem to be a very spiritual topic.
On the contrary, Carl, it is a very spiritual topic. In fact, probably nothing is more directly indicative of a person's spiritual commitment than what they do with their money. I mean, that's as simple as it can be. You can tell me about your Christianity. You can tell me about your devotion to the Lord. Let me see your checkbook, and I'll find out. Let me look at your credit card account when it comes in every month and see where you've put your money. That is absolutely an indicator of where your heart is. Where your treasure is, Jesus said, that's where your heart is. We want to look into that. And the subject that we're going to begin with today is treasure in heaven. It's part of a series on mastering your money, getting a biblical understanding of finances. And also, we're going to talk about how to eliminate financial worry. This is a great series to start moving you out of debt, and that is a universal problem in our culture, isn't it? So, the series title, Mastering Your Money. Today, we're going to talk about treasures in heaven. We're going to look into Matthew chapter 6. It's not going to be a condemnation of owning nice things. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But making sure that we eliminate the anxiety out of our lives and that we use our money for those things which are eternal. This is going to be very practical, so make sure you don't miss a day.
Don't let money and worries about money control you. Find out what the Bible says about mastering your money. And here's John MacArthur now to kick off the study by that name, Mastering Your Money.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Let me read them for you as the setting for what we're going to say. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and money. Now, the question that arises out of this text is a very simple one. Where is your heart? Verse 21. It's wherever your treasure is. Luke 16:14 says, the Pharisees were covetous. They were covetous. They wanted money. They wanted material wealth and possessions. That's really all they had going because they were earthly. They were earthbound because their religion was false. And so it's against the backdrop of the greed of the Pharisees that our Lord speaks. And what he is saying here is that we must have the proper view of money and wealth and possessions. Man is greedy, and you have to divert his heart from covetousness. And that's what our dear Lord is wanting to do in this text, is divert us away from covetousness. You see, we must handle our possessions and our money and our wealth and our luxury like we do anything else. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. But we do so much of it to the indulgence of self. That's the problem. Now, in order to know how to handle our luxuries, we have three alternatives in this text. We have three alternatives. There are two treasuries, there are two visions, and there are two masters given in this text. And in each of those three alternatives, you have the very same principle hit from a different angle, and then you have some subordinate reasons why that principle is to be obeyed. The principle is given, then the reasons are given in each case. And so we have to make a choice. We make a choice, first of all, verses 19 and 20, whether we lay up our treasure on earth or in heaven. We make a choice, secondly, in verses 22 and 23, whether we are going to exist in light or whether we're going to exist in darkness. We make another choice in verse 24, whether our master will be God or our master will be money, because it can't be both. So the Lord really gives us three choices, which really come together to be one choice, and that is to choose properly how we handle our wealth. Now, this is a tough message, people, and it's tough on me because I am also a creature of my time. I am also somewhat a victim of the impressions that the culture makes upon me. And as John Stott has said, worldly ambition has a strong fascination for us, and the spell of materialism is very hard to break. And he's right. It's difficult to deal with this. And so I want us to be very conscientious as we let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts about this matter. I just want to say one other thought. Sometimes it would be so easy if the Lord would just say, hey, I got to solve this whole deal. Just take 50% of everything you've got and give it to me. Wouldn't that be easy? Really simple. We could all say, hey, I gave my 50%. Did you give him? And we could discipline them right out of the church if they didn't that fast, see, because we'd have the standard. In other words, if it was just cut and dried, absolutized, formulated, tabulated, learned by rote, and just cranked out. But the problem with that is you'd never have then gotten to the real issue, which is the heart attitude, right? God doesn't want to get something that's given because you're afraid of him. He wants to get something that's given because you love him, see? And so the Lord doesn't give us some kind of an absolute legalistic standard here. He merely gives us a principle. And when you hear the principle which says, lay up treasure in heaven, or serve God, not money, you might at first say, well, that's kind of vague, but it won't be by the time we're done, I'll promise you. But it's vague enough to deal with your attitude, and not just with some external formula. So be ready to let God change your attitude. Now, let's look at number one choice, verses 19 to 21. Two treasuries. Two treasuries. And I'm just going to read the first part of verse 19, the first part of verse 20, and we're just going to touch the principle this morning and get into the reasons for it next time. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, that is a very simple statement. Two treasuries, you have an option to choose. You have a treasury on earth, you have a treasury in heaven. And Jesus said, put it in heaven, not on earth. What do you do with your wealth? Don't invest it here, invest it there. For where your treasure is, that's where your what? Your heart's going to be also. Now, this introduces us to the whole concept of our money. You know, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all what? Evil. It isn't money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of it. You can have none of it and love it like mad. You just can't get a hold of it. It's the love of money that corrupts. For example, look at Achan. Instead of inheriting the promised land, he died with his whole family because he decided to take what God said don't take. And his love, he saw a goodly garment and he saw some coins and he stashed them in the ground in his tent. And the Lord confronted him through Joshua and said, you better confess your sin because you're going to die. And he did, and he died, and everybody in his family died. The love of money. And then you remember the story of Solomon, who kept amassing fortunes and fortunes and fortunes until he was the wealthiest man in the world. And when it was all said and done, he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, emptiness, uselessness, meaninglessness, void. And then there was Ananias and Sapphira, who decided that they were going to keep some of the money they promised to the Lord, and God struck them dead. And then there was Judas, who for a pittance
sold the Son of God and went out and hanged himself, and his body was burst open and his bowels gushed forth as he crashed to the rocks below. And then there was Demas, of whom Paul said, he has forsaken me because he loved the system. And you could go through many other illustrations of those people who, because of the love of money, were devastated and destroyed in some degree or another. And so we all need to learn about this, because it is self-destructive if we don't, as well as destroying everyone around us. So we have to understand what he's saying. Let's go to verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What does that mean? Well, let me give you a little word study on this. The word is thesaurizitai. We get the word thesaurus, which is a treasury of words from that. But thesaurizitai, it's a play on words. It means treasure not up treasures. Don't stockpile, if you want it in a simple sense. The idea of the word treasure is to place something someplace, to stick it somewhere, to stash it somewhere. And so what the Lord is talking about here, people, get this, is not that which we use to live every day, but that which we just pile up. It's not our necessities. It's not that which we use to meet the needs of our own life, of our family, of the poor, of the Lord, for setting aside money for the future or for making wise investments that we may be better stewards of God's money in days to come. It is not that which is active. It is that which is stockpiled just to amass for our own selves. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about luxury. He's talking about that which is beyond what we can possibly use. It's all those things you don't use, you just stash somewhere. You keep saying they're so valuable, and so you keep them. The implication is that there is an abundance too numerous for use, and so you just pile it up. Now, what do we mean here? What is he forbidding? Does he forbid a bank account, savings account, life insurance policy, a wise investment? Does he say we shouldn't possess anything? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Some people have said, that means you shouldn't possess anything. Don't have any earthly treasure. What you should do is sell it all and walk the street. Get a brown bag and be a hobo. Is that what he's saying? Why, they say, the rich young ruler, Jesus said to him, sell all you have and give to the poor. Have you ever noticed that that's the only person he ever said that to? Did you notice that he didn't say that to Mary and Martha? Because he liked to go to their house. And when he got there, I guess he liked their cooking too. And he also said, you won't forsake anything but to become a disciple of mine, but that the Lord will give you houses and lands and families and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in this life. Well, the Lord is never condemning possessions. The reason he told the rich young ruler to sell all he had was because all he had stood between him and God. And until he got rid of that, there was no connecting up with God. No, the Lord is not looking down on ownership. Deuteronomy 28, God said, I'll put you in the land and I'll prosper your families and your cattle and your sheep and your crops. And he went on and on about all that. No, the Lord is not saying we shouldn't possess anything. In fact, do you know that in Exodus 20:15 it says, thou shalt not steal? And the very statement of God in the Decalogue, thou shalt not steal, assumes that something can be mine that you can't have. That's right. We have a right to possessions. The Bible talks about that men are not to steal or to rob because people have a right to their possessions. You not only have no right to steal what is mine, you don't even have a right to want what is mine, because Exodus 20:17 says, thou shalt not what? Covet. So the Lord recognizes the right of ownership of goods, the right of personal property. Another illustration, in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of property. So they said, hey, let's sell the property and we'll give all the money to the Lord. And they made a big announcement about it. We're going to sell our property, give all the money to the Lord. You know, the Bible didn't tell them to do that. God didn't tell them to do that. They said they wanted to do that voluntarily. They sold the property, and they looked at all that money, and they said, oh, we said we were going to give that all to the Lord. Boy, let's keep a little back. And the Lord knocked them dead in front of the whole church. Flat dead. But before he did, he gave them a message through Peter. Ananias, Acts 5:4. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land? Now listen. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? In other words, it was yours. You had power over it. You had control over it. You didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to promise it. The issue is you lied to God. But the point I want to make is it was theirs. But once they'd given it in promise, they needed to follow that through. The Lord has given us, what I'm saying, is the right to possess things. All He wants is to be sure that our attitude is right in the manner in which we possess them. For example, in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "For it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth." God has given us the power to get wealth. God has given us the resources, the abilities. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "And what do you have that you did not receive," implied from God. I mean, God wants us to know those things and to have those things. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't that great? And it's a section about money. And He's given it to us to enjoy it. We don't have to live a monastic life. For my birthday, my wife bought me a chair, a nice soft chair that reclines. And I like it. And I can sit in that chair and I don't say, "Carnal, carnal, carnal," the whole time I'm sitting in the chairs. You know, I can enjoy that chair. Once in a while, I let somebody else sit in it too, just to keep my perspective. But I can enjoy that. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. God is not withholding from us. And God is a God of great generosity. In fact, I think if you study the history of the world, you will find that the nations that have been the most godly have known the greatest prosperity. This is generally true. God is a God of generosity. Do you know that business, for example, and wise banking principles are encouraged by our Lord in His parables in Matthew 25 and Luke 19? Did you know that the very rich man Abraham was called a friend of God? And that God made Job wealthier than he'd been before, and he was so wealthy before he couldn't hardly count it. And you know, if you study the book of Proverbs again and again and again, the Bible encourages us to be careful how we handle our funds so that we make wise investments. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says, "Go to the ant and see how the ant works. She provides food in the summer and gathers food in the harvest. An ant's smart enough to plan for the future. An ant knows how to save. Wise savings are very important." You go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, and you read this, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to penury." In other words, if you want to be rich, work. If you want to be poor, talk. Now, that's not true in the case if you're a preacher, but other than that... In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up." In other words, a wise man knows how to save, how to plan. In Proverbs 22, verse 7, it says, "The borrower is servant to the lender." It's wiser to lend than to have to borrow. And so wise business practices are indicated throughout Scripture. In Proverbs 24:3, it says, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." In other words, a wise person knows how to build a house and fill it with pleasant and precious treasures. God is not against that. God has given us graciously these wonderful things to enjoy. In Proverbs 28:19, "He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after empty persons shall have poverty enough." In other words, you're better off to work your ground than to chase wildcat schemes. Be wise. You have a right to possess and to add to your possessions and to enrich those possessions. God has given us that. Well, what we see then is passages in Scripture tell us that laying up treasure in heaven or laying up treasure in earth is not some kind of an issue that says we're not to possess anything, we're not to enjoy anything, we're not to accept from God's good hand those abundant things He's given us. The New Testament says the same thing. In Romans 12:11, it says, "Be not slothful in business." In 1 Timothy 5, it says that we are to plan to prepare to take care of our own and to provide for our household, or we're worse than an infidel. In other words, God is saying these things are ours by His grace. Now, what is He saying then? What is He forbidding here? "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth." What does that mean? He is not talking about what we have. He is talking about the attitude toward what we have. Okay, now listen. It is right to seek needed things. It is right to provide for my family. It is right to plan for the future. It is right to make wise investments. It is right to help the poor. It is right to have enough to carry on my business. It is wrong to be greedy. It is wrong to be covetous. And we come right back to the motive again. If I am doing this to use it to the glory of God in the life of those around me and in His kingdom, then I have a right to all of it. But if I am gaining it to stockpile it and to hoard it and to keep it and to amass it, to indulge myself in it, that is sin. And you're right back to dealing with that attitude again. John Wesley was an extremely wealthy man. Now, we think of John Wesley as a great man of God and a great man of prayer and a man devoted to the time in the Word of God, up every morning for hours in the Greek text studying, and we think of him as a man of some low means. John Wesley was an extremely wealthy man. He gained his wealth from the hymns he wrote and the books he penned. And at one period of time in his life, he gave away well nigh 50,000 pounds sterling, just gave it away to people, which was a fortune in his time. He was a wealthy man, and he gave this fortune away. And when John Wesley died, his estate was worth 28 pounds. Now, I'll promise you one thing. He didn't lay it up on earth. When it came in, it went right back out in the lives of people. It went right back out, invested in the kingdom of God. You see, the issue of the Greek word here is that we not pile up what we don't need and don't plan to use. I might add that this is, some people do this under the guise that they're hedging against some coming doom. That's a problem because you're not living by faith. You don't believe God will take care of you in the future? Just amassing money. And I think about the work of God that goes on a shoestring, struggling and stretching for everything. It isn't that we're giving all we can give, is it? It's just that we're possessive. That's the problem. Just pile it up. Now you see, it isn't the issue of whether you have, it's the issue of what you do with what you have, isn't it? Whether it's for you or for the kingdom of God and His purposes. Somebody said there is no smaller package than a man wrapped up in himself. That's really true. You know, Colossians 3:5 says, covetousness is idolatry. And that's what our Lord has in mind. You know, money becomes your God. The things that we possess can become the idols of our lives. And the Lord is saying, don't pile up stuff. The selfish accumulation of goods, extravagant luxury, hard-heartedness toward the cause of God. Listen, look at the words in verse 19 again. I'm going to close with just this reference. Lay not up, and here's the key, underline it in your Bible, for yourselves. Isn't that the key? Hey, I mean, if I want to invest and if I want to pursue a successful business and if I want to be aggressive and honest in what I do and do the best I can for others and for God and for my children and for my parents and for the poor and for the depressed and the oppressed, that's one thing. But when I start piling it up for myself in extravagant luxury and become materialistic, then I have violated this principle. A rich man died, and one of his acquaintances said to another one, hey, I heard that so-and-so died. That's right. He said, what did he leave? To which the friend replied, all of it. All of it. What good does that do? Lord, said the Old Testament saint, give me enough so I don't starve and doubt your faithfulness. But don't give me too much or I'll forget you. See? Examine your heart. beloved. Because what Jesus is saying here is this. People in my kingdom don't amass fortunes for themselves. They don't stockpile things for themselves. Are you in contrast to the Pharisees, or do you have a problem with it? You need to examine a very basic thing in your life. If you're hung up on money, you may not even be a Christian, because people in Christ's kingdom are laying up treasure in heaven. They're investing in eternity. You ask me whether I'd rather spend $5,000 for a car or whether I'd rather put $5,000 in the life of a missionary, and it's no choice for me. It's simple. Simple. Because I'd rather see the eternal dividend, wouldn't you?
That's John MacArthur, continuing the series Mastering Your Money here on Grace to You. You're seeing just how transforming it can be to spend your life storing up treasure in heaven. You know, all the materialism, the marketing, and the money buys you happiness mentality that confronts us in this age, it clearly flies in the face of the priorities that God expects you to have. So let me suggest that you counter the world's assault by sitting down with your family and listening to this series again from start to finish. Make sure that you're following God's plan for your finances. Order a copy of the study, Mastering Your Money. You can call toll-free anytime, 1-800-55-GRACE, or log on to the website at gty.org. There's no charge for shipping, and we guarantee every resource that you order from us. You can order Mastering Your Money today. It comes on 5 CDs and a special album for $25. Order by phone at 855-GRACE or online at gty.org. Online, you can order the study on CD or the MP3 downloads. MP3s are $3 per lesson. Again, gty.org. Now, if you've just discovered Grace to You, you should know that these lessons on glorifying God with your money are only a fraction of the Bible-based messages we have available. To learn more about other resources, request a free catalog when you write to Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Something else to keep in mind, it's the new Grace to You television program launching this Sunday, October 1st on DirecTV. Look for Grace to You on channel 378, that's NRB TV, at 5 p.m., that's Eastern Time, or 2 p.m. Pacific Time, starting Sunday, October 1st, that's on the DirecTV satellite system. For John MacArthur and the staff, I'm Carl Miller, inviting you back tomorrow for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. You need to buy food. You need to pay your bills. How do you balance earthly spending with eternal investment? Find out tomorrow on Grace to You.